This podcast is for educational purposes only, as well as to give you general information and a general understanding of the law, not to provide specific legal advice. By listening to this podcast, you understand that there is no attorney-client relationship between you and the host of the show. This podcast should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a licensed professional attorney in your state. Hello, and welcome to Business Wise with your host, John Estefanos. John is a licensed attorney in California, a real estate broker, and a serial entrepreneur. His goal is to educate and inspire business owners and entrepreneurs everywhere to achieve their dreams and set up their business to achieve the most success possible.
Welcome to Business Wise. I'm your host, John. How are you guys doing? Hope you guys are having a fantastic and productive week. I am very excited to be here talking to you guys again. And I've had a very busy week at the office, but I like doing this, and it gives me a break from everything else I do. So very excited to be here. And today's topic is, you know, in my opinion, it's a topic that is kind of needed, and it has to do with the document that makes up your corporation. I know that a lot of businesses are incorporated, and if you have a business and you are incorporated, you have a corporation. And today I'm just talking about corporations, not LLCs, limited liability companies, but we'll have that discussion sometime very soon as well. But today I'm talking about those business owners that have a corporation. And within a corporation, there are, in my opinion, there's several documents, but in my opinion, there are two controlling documents. And I want to discuss those two documents because I feel like you guys need to know what they are. They're very important. You guys have been asked to provide these, I can guarantee you, you know, many times. So I thought a discussion about those documents was needed so that you guys know what those documents are and why you are producing them and the importance of these documents. So, like I mentioned, two controlling documents, and the first one is the Articles of Incorporation. And I think you guys have heard this term before if you have a corporation. And the Articles of Incorporation are the initial articles. It's the initial filing that you do with Secretary of State. This document is what will allow you to be recognized as a legally formed corporation within your state. And again, I would like to remind everyone, we're talking about the state of California here. So that's what the articles are. You file them with Secretary of State, you pay a filing fee, and they get filed, and it's kind of like registering your corporation. That's exactly what it is. But within that document, there's some information. And although the amount of information in it is very little, but it's important and you need to know what's in it. The first thing you're going to see in it is you're going to see the corporation name, okay? Not your doing business as or DBA as you guys might be used to it, but that is actually your corporation's legal name, okay? So you will see that in there. And I want to remind everyone, your corporation can have one name and then you can operate under a different DBA, doing business as, and that's completely normal. And some folks have the doing business as and their corporation name the same. I know for myself, the doing business as name for me and the corporation name is the same. A lot of my clients have that different. Where they're different, that's fine too. But the what I'm referencing in the Articles of Incorporation here is the legal name of the entity. The other thing you'll see, it will say what is the purpose of the corporation. It will have that in there, or purpose of corporation. And that will always say any lawful business. So in other words, you don't have to let the state know what kind of business you're going to be conducting or what kind of corporation you're going, the business that's going to be under that corporation is not something you have to disclose at the outset when you're filing your articles of incorporation. It will just read any lawful business, and that's completely okay. And that's basically the state's way of saying to you, look, we don't care what you do so long as it's lawful. The other thing you'll see is the agent of service for process. And I get a lot of people asking me, what is that? Well, that is, you'll, and in that area, you'll see a name and an address. And basically, the agent of service for process, that is the person that will receive legal documents on behalf of the corporation. And again, that could be you as the owner of the company. That could be you. That's how I have it set up in my corporation. Or my corporations, I have it set up that way. And so you can put yourself and you can put an address there. And that's basically telling the public where they should serve legal documents. And the most common legal document, obviously, is a lawsuit. So if somebody wanted to sue you, that is the only place they can serve you at the agent of service for process address. So that's why that's important, and that's why that's there. And I want to remind everybody, the Articles of Incorporation in the state of California is a public document that can be looked up on the Secretary of State website. So anybody has access to it. The other thing you'll see is your mailing address as opposed to your business address. Now, your business address should be the physical location of your business. And sometimes that could be your home address. The state just wants a physical location. You know, if you're selling product online, you don't have a brick and mortar, you don't have a location, and you're operating out of your house, that's completely okay. You would just put your home address or whichever address you are operating out of. So that cannot be a P.O. box. The mailing address, however, can be the same as the mailing address can be the same as the business address, or you can designate a different address. And that could be a P.O. box if you wish to use a P.O. box. So the mailing address can be a P.O. box, okay, or any other address, but the business address has to be a physical address. And the other thing you'll see on there is the incorporator. Who is the incorporator? That's basically the person that's filing those documents. And in most cases, it's an attorney. And if you're doing it yourself, you would just put you. But I know that I've signed so many. I've probably formed over, 600-700 entities in my lifetime. And I've signed so many articles of incorporation, and I signed as the incorporator. So that's what that section is talking about. And the other thing you'll see on there, and the last thing on my list here that I want to discuss with you guys, you'll see the amount of authorized shares to issue. And that's basically a figure that you put, and that figure can be 100, 1,000, 10,000, 1 million, 10 million shares, that is, okay? And basically, that's what you're telling the state. That's how many shares you have available to issue. Now, you could put down 10,000 shares and issue all 10,000 shares to yourself, okay? But then if you do that, you don't have any more shares to issue. So if you get another partner or another shareholder that you want to bring in, you would actually have to amend that portion. So the best idea is to pick a figure of shares that you want to have authorization to issue and only issue some to yourself. Okay, so I think in my corporations, I have it set up where I can issue 10,000 and I've issued only 1,000 shares. And I don't want anyone to mistaken that with, well, if you issue 1,000 and you have 10,000, then you're only 10% owner. That's not the case here. I am 1,000 out of 1,000 issued, so I'm 100%, okay? 9,000 are just, 9,000 shares are just in the cloud sitting there, okay? So I don't want people to do the math and start thinking otherwise. So that's where you, that there is a section, and that's where you would put the amount of shares you want to be available and authorized for you to issue. Now, I want to talk about who might ask for this document. This is a very, very common document. So many people could ask for it. Your vendors can ask for it. If you're doing a loan with the bank, the lender will ask for it. If you are opening a bank account, the person at the bank will ask for it. Okay? So this is a very, very common document. A lot of people will ask you for it. So that's why I'm kind of talking about it, because I want you to know what it is that you're giving to other people. It's basically the registration for your entity. And I went into some depth about everything that is in it. The second document I want to talk about is, and this is probably the biggest one, is, or just as equal as the articles of incorporation, is the bylaws. I get a lot of people that, you know, turn over bylaws, but they really don't know what they're turning over. And corporate bylaws are written by the owners of the corporation at the time of its founding, okay? And then the bylaws discuss issues like corporate officers. Who are the corporate officers? And if you own a corporation by yourself, in other words, you are the only person that owns it, you're the only shareholder, then you are all the officer positions. You're the president, the vice president, the secretary. You get to play or you get to wear these hats. Then it will reference, the bylaws will reference the board of directors, okay, and what their responsibilities are. And again, if you own it by yourself, you are also the board of directors. The bylaws will go on to tell you how the board of directors is elected, the terms of office, how and when board and shareholder meetings will be held, and how the board of directors functions. So it's usually about 20, 30. I've seen them as high as 50 pages long. And they talk about all the details, okay? And that's because there's a lot going on with a corporation. And again, when you own it by yourself, not much going on, because you're not going to really have conflict with yourself. And some of these rules and regulations, you know, you're not going to have issue with, because it's just you. But when you are put in a position where you have multiple shareholders, then you'll have different thoughts, and you might have, you know, different opinions, more disagreement. So it becomes very important at that time. And I want to go back, take a step back. I mentioned board and shareholder meetings. What is that? Well, corporations are required to hold one annual board meeting and one annual shareholder meeting at the bare minimum. Now, if more meetings are needed, there's a process in which you can call a meeting and have a meeting. But at least once a year, you need to have a board of directors meeting and a shareholder meeting. And I get asked a lot, John, it's just me. What do you want me to do? Have a meeting by myself? And that's precisely exactly it. Yes, you are going to have a meeting by yourself. You're going to just document that you had a meeting, and you are going to put those minutes of that particular meeting inside your corporation book. And I don't want to get into a lengthy discussion, because I will at some point down the road. I will have a episode on board of director and shareholder meetings, but since I brought it up, I feel like I owe it to you guys to just briefly talk about it. The bylaws should also include the number and type of shares and stock classes that the corporation's authorized to issue. Information about shareholder meetings, including notification of meeting and voting rights. And again, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about the different types of authorized shares and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the different type of shares that you can issue, because I will do that in a separate meeting, the difference between common shares, preferred shares. We can have an entire episode on that. So, and I already discussed with you guys that you must have at least one board of director meetings, one shareholder meeting. The board of directors, okay, I want to elaborate a little bit on the board of directors while I'm on this, it's an important part of the corporation, okay? So obviously that's why they're included in the bylaws. And in most cases, it's, you know, one person. And again, this is one area where if you are the shareholder and you want somebody else to serve on the board of directors that has no ownership stake in the company, you're free to do that. So in other words, you just obviously have to ask that person and you have to let them know what their role is. And there has to be a reason for you to want that person on your team because they provide advice. So in other words, if you own it all by yourself and you think you have, you know, two of your friends or three or one of your friends or buddies or somebody that you think would serve your corporation well, you can ask them to be part of the board of directors. And again, if you're someone who's looking to do this on your own, file the corporation, there's a lot of boilerplate templates for bylaws. And again, when you're by yourself and you own it by yourself, it's okay to use one of those boilerplate templates. However, it's when you start getting other shareholders, other partners involved, and then again, each person wants something done a certain way, that's when you may need to kind of consult with an attorney and have a customized set of bylaws drafted for you that's comprehensive of everything that you're going to want in there, okay? So that's kind of what the bylaws are, and that's what they do. Very, very important document because it spells out everything on your corporation, how it's going to operate, when it's going to operate, who's doing what. So again, very, very important. Lastly, I kind of want to talk about something that throws a lot of people off. In the state of California, and I talked about this in the beginning of the episode a bit, but I want to elaborate a little more. In the state of California, one person can be all the officer positions, can be the only person to be the director, and you can have a valid board of directors with just one person, and can be the only shareholder, okay? And I get a lot of people that are confused by that. How am I all this? Yes, you are all of those. You're all three of those things that I just mentioned, okay? And you play those roles, and sometimes you play those roles without even knowing that you're playing these roles, okay? So that's very, very, very common. So don't ever feel like you're doing something wrong if you're doing it that way. Again, I'll go back to referencing or using myself as an example. In all my corporations, I am the only shareholder. I am all the officer positions, and I am the only person that serves on the board of directors for my corporations, okay? So that's kind of the two controlling documents in a corporation. Again, there might be some other things, but I wanted to talk about the two most important. So that way you guys can know what they are. And again, this document is very important. A lot of people will ask for it. Banks will ask for it. Vendors might ask for it. It's for people to see really who has ownership stake in the business, because the articles alone will not mention that. They don't really say a whole lot about who has what percentage and who's involved. So that's where the bylaws kick in, and they do exactly that. Over the next few weeks and over the course of this year, I will talk a lot about corporations, board of director meetings, shareholder meetings, voting by proxy. Why is it important that we have shareholder meetings and board of director meetings? And I will discuss piercing the corporate veil. If you guys are familiar with that, I'm not going to discuss what it is right now. That is a very, very serious thing, and I want to do an entire episode on that. So we're going to dissect corporations very, very well. We're going to, I'm going to try to make you guys experts at this stuff and educate you as much as I can. Alongside this too, I'm going to do the same thing for limited liability companies. And limited liability companies kind of work the same exact way, just a little different, the different terms. And in a limited liability company, it's the articles of organization versus articles of incorporation. And then limited liability companies have operating agreements and corporations have bylaws. So we'll discuss limited liability companies in depth. Just in case anyone's listening and they're like, well, I'm not a corporation, I'm a limited liability company, so what documents do I have? I will get to you guys very soon. I just wanted to start out with corporations and discussing the articles and the bylaws. I think that's pretty much it for this episode. I will talk to you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe and rate. Follow me on Instagram at BusinessWise Podcast, and let me know if there's any topics you would like me to discuss.
This podcast is for educational purposes only, as well as to give you general information and a general understanding of the law, not to provide specific legal advice. By listening to this podcast, you understand that there is no attorney-client relationship between you and the host of the show. This podcast should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a licensed professional attorney in your state.